having an undivided heart. It's not based or manufactured in some commercial place. It's not Walmart, Hallmark. It isn't anything like that. But I'm going to be talking to you today about true love, Jesus Christ, because he has something special for you. You see, ladies, God wants you to know how much he loves you. He loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, with everything that you can possibly imagine. He loves you. Psalms 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." An undivided heart. This undivided heart that it's talking about, it's the heart that is totally whole. You know, it's a heart that is joined together, and it's a heart that is united. It's kind of a graphic picture of a husband and a wife. You know, you come together and you commit and you vow that you're going to be united with one love. That's the illustration, but this united means it's with him and you coming together and being united with one heart, one flesh, and one spirit. So who better to teach us about having an undivided heart than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Amen. Isaiah 54:5 says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." If you've committed your heart to Jesus Christ, he is your husband, and his name is the Lord of hosts. In Hosea 2:19, it says, "I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice and unfailing love and compassion." So the Lord of hosts is his name, and he has given you this opportunity to experience, not just from now, but forever, this unfailing love and compassion. God says in Song of Solomon 7:10, "I am my beloved's, and he longs for me." Woman, get this. God is absolutely crazy about you. So realize this, that he is the lover of your soul. And oftentimes, I think what tends to happen is that we think everything else in life needs to take that place. But God is the lover of your soul, ladies. No man, nothing on earth is ever going to fill that void in your life except Jesus. If you read the word from beginning to end, the very first book of the Bible is Genesis. And God often talks a lot about marriages and weddings throughout his whole word from beginning to end. The very first marriage that he talks about was that of Adam and Eve in Genesis. The very first miracle that God did when he walked on this earth was at a marriage ceremony at the wedding of Cana. And the final marriage at the end of the whole Bible is the book of Revelation in 19. And he talks about where he comes for his bride, you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. God's desire is not that this would be just a one-sided relationship. God loves you so much, but he also wants you to love him. He wants you to reciprocate that love and that passion that he has for you. The word tells us that in Deuteronomy 6:4-5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's everything that he has created you to love him with. Do you see that in this word it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart"? That means a heart that is not divided. And this is a threefold way of loving God. He talks about the heart and the soul and the mind. The number three is very critical in biblical numerology because that means it's God's divine perfection. God loves you with divine perfection. You need to know that. Your heart may be here just battered and shattered because of relationships that may have wounded you deeply. It may have been, you know, just some man, woman, mother, husband. God wants you to know that he loves you. Nothing that he could ever do will ever separate you from his love. This heart is the seat of your emotions. It means that you love somebody. It's a poetic thing. It's like where you see all this romance and it's the emotional part of your being. And the soul is a spirit person. It's where you connect with somebody spiritually. It's where you connect with God. He's your soulmate. Nobody else can ever do that or take that place because God created that special place in your heart for him. So it's you and him are being soulmates. And then it says, the mind, which is also meaning your strength. It's your mental and your physical abilities to love somebody. In other words, it's your love in action. When you love somebody, you're going to do everything you can to show that person how much you love them. So now, as a bride of Christ, because I'm going to be focusing on the bride of Christ, you are to dedicate your conscience, your emotional and your physical energies into loving God so that there is no room in your heart for loving anything else God must be the one to take priority over your heart. Now, I'm not saying that this doesn't mean that you can't love other people or other things, but they must not take the place or that position of God in your heart. It's so easy for all of us to fall short of loving God with our whole heart, isn't it? But it's not impossible for us to love Him with all our heart. Because if He created us that way, that's what He wants from us. You know, oftentimes, as I mentioned to you before, some of our hearts get distracted with things of the world. We allow different ways that the enemy wants to come and divide our hearts. And some of it may be, and I'm going to use this as a picture of what our heart looks like. God made us whole. This is a picture of what your heart looks like to God. But oftentimes, what begins to happen is we become so busy that it distracts us away from God. So we give part of our heart to whatever that busyness is. Sometimes, even in ministry, you become so busy that you lose focus of having that intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we allow works to take that place in our heart with God. That's another big one that divides our heart against God. Maybe today, some of you are just lazy. It's all about me, Lord God. I don't have time for you. And we begin to get involved in doing extracurricular activities, or we begin to get involved with things we shouldn't be getting involved in. I'm going to say, and this is a big one for a lot of us, it was with me, casinos, bars, ungodly relationships, you know, shopping tends to take a lot of our time. What tends to happen is when we allow these different things to take our heart, then we become bitter because it's not going the way we expected it. Bitterness is a big thing that takes a place and divides our heart against God. And then unforgiveness, because we don't want to forgive that person who has hurt us. And they have taken a piece of our heart. And then there's another one that we see happening all over the place that is touching homes today. Drugs and alcohol are a big factor that are ruining people's hearts. So that's where the enemy wants to get you, ladies. That's his strategy. That's his tactic. He wants to divide you among all these things so that your heart gets so distracted from loving God wholeheartedly. The word tells us, and he warns us, that the devil's strategy to come against you is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy that relationship between you and God. He will tempt you. He will entice you in the very three areas that God wants us to love him in: our heart, our soul, and our mind. The devil is doing this because he wants you to be disloyal to your spiritual husband, Jesus Christ. He knows that the very key to having a wholly devoted heart is the key to everything in your life. Because you see, when your relationship with God is in order, everything else will be in order too. So if he can get your heart in disarray, your whole life is going to be messed up. Don't fall prey to the lies and the schemes of the evil one. You have the power today to change your life by changing your heart. But it's up to you today to make that commitment to God and say, Lord, I want you to be a part of my life again. We all know that the devil does everything completely the opposite of Jesus Christ, right? I'm going to explain to you the difference. God is holy and God is good. The devil is evil and bad. God is truth and the devil is a liar. God is faithful and he is loyal, ladies. The devil is a deceiver, and he's also an imposter. God creates, and what do you think the devil does? Destroys. God is true love, and the devil is what? False. He's lust. And I'm going to explain to you the difference between true love and lust. So if you ever get involved in relationships, you're going to know what's the truth and what isn't. Because all of us today, I think, are following after man-made desires. We're wanting to fill that void with men, ladies. God wants you to know this. It says, who is this true love? It's God. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is true love. You see, God came down from heaven in flesh and blood. He experienced the heartaches, the trials, the tribulations, the temptations. But you know what? He never allowed it to have a divided heart. He never allowed all these things to get in the way because you were on his mind. He knew what he would suffer and what he would experience on that cross. But he hung in there with an undivided heart because of you. It's not based on your actions, of the sins you've committed, the sins you will commit. His love for you is limitless and unconditional. He counted the cost because He wants you to have a victorious life with Him now if you place your faith and trust in Him. Yes, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, but He's going to be there with you as your faithful husband. The devil, on the other hand, is lust. He is the deceiver, as I mentioned before. He is the liar and a destroyer. His goal is to make you the adulterous bride against God. He knows that when you choose to be a friend of the world, you now have chosen to become an enemy of Jesus Christ. He wants to take that place in your heart, and He wants to replace it with the things of the world. He'll use the entrance of our eyes. The very thing that entices us is through our eyes, and then we begin to dwell on it. You know, you get to think about it. You see that guy that's so appealing, and you can't stop thinking about that guy. You go to bed, everything is about the visual. And then you begin to get your heart divided and distracted with that person. But see, he'll seduce you. The enemy will seduce you through worldly passions and desires. And you have to recognize that these are the false gods, the gods of the flesh. And there's something that is very critical right now. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God will not share your heart with another idol, ladies. He will not. The word tells us that in Exodus 34:14, you must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is Jealous, is a God who is jealous about His relationship with you. He's jealous for you. When you place those other idols and things in your life that is taking that place of God, He's jealous. So, you know, just give it up, because God loves you so much to leave you going in the wrong direction. He's going to go after you with His love once again. And ladies, you may have been involved, married, and just in a relationship, but if you've experienced adultery, it is one of the most painful things as a woman that you will ever go through. And just imagine what our husband Jesus, the pain that He is going through. He shares the same emotions that we do. He loves us the same way, even more than we could ever imagine. But to commit that spiritual adultery, it breaks His heart. So I'm asking you today, if you're not devoted to God right now, what are you devoted to? And I'm going to be very, very strong here, because what has bewitched you and captivated that place in your heart? God says it's bewitchment. I mean, it's just like a spell that has come over you by the enemy. God is a great caretaker. He is the most wonderful husband you can ever imagine. You know, when you feel like you don't have enough finances, God says, I will provide for all of your needs. When you are lonely, He says, I will fill you up. When you are torn apart by the things of the world, I will be there to restore you. God is God, ladies, and He loves you. But we use these very same things that He has blessed us with to commit adultery on our God. Ezekiel 16 says it best. It says, you use the lovely things I gave you to make shrines for your idols where you played the prostitute. Unbelievable. How could such a thing ever happen? You took the very jewels and gold and silver ornaments I had given you and made statues of men and worshiped them. This is adultery against me. You used the beautifully embroidered clothes I gave you to dress your idols. Then you used my special oil and my incense to worship them. Imagine it. You set before them as a sacrifice the choice flour and olive oil and honey I had given you, says the Sovereign Lord. So ladies, do you see the very blessings He's given us, talents and gifts and abilities? We use them out in the world, and we spend all our energies and resources following after things that are not satisfying. Yes, temporary, but just for a moment, not everlasting. I'm going to ask you right now, some of you here today, I don't know who you are or what you're involved in. God does. You may be involved in an infidelity relationship, male or female. You may be caught up in just, you know, sex is sex, and whether you're committing an adultery or infidelity, it's wrong against God. Or maybe you're spending the blessings, the money and the resources on things that are just tangible, that aren't going to last forever. Or maybe you're putting your resource into another human being, a child, a job, whatever it is, ladies. What is taking your time and your heart away from God today? I beg you now, repent. Just take a few minutes right now and just ask God to show you the very areas where you need to get that wholehearted relationship back with Him again. Take a moment right now, and God will just, He'll show you where it is that you need to get it right. You see, ladies, the very things that we lift up above God, they're going to come down. God would not allow anything to take that position in your heart. As I reflect back in my life, the very person that I lifted up came falling down. My marriage was destroyed. I fell into things that I shouldn't have been involved with. Before, when I was young, you know, I was going to nightclubs. I was looking for that love relationship, but could never find it in a bar or a casino. And some of you are chasing those same shadows that I was, and it's not going to be fulfilling, ladies. It's only going to bring destruction. But God is good. When you repent and you ask Him for forgiveness, then He'll forgive you, but He also wants to bring reconciliation to make your heart whole. It says in Hosea 14:4, I will heal you of your faithlessness, my love, will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. So once you repent, He will remember that sin no more. But recognize this, don't be feeling condemned right now, because that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to tell you is in Romans 8:38 says it best. It says, nothing you can ever do can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, and as I began to just refocus again my life with God, see, ladies, in a moment of honesty with myself, I had to go before God and confess, because being a pastor's wife or being in ministry doesn't exempt me or exclude me from having an undivided heart. I fall, you know, just like you do. I get tempted, and trials and tribulations try to destroy my relationship with God. So I'm not excluded. But I'm sharing this with you because I believe God is wanting me to share it with you as well. When I went into prayer and I just asked God, what do I talk to these women about? He says, an undivided heart. And I said, okay, well then God, how, as we, as your brides, how do we get that heart back that we've allowed the enemy to take away from us with all these distractions? And He spoke to my spirit in His word. And He said in Jeremiah 2:2, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. And I began to ponder and I began to reminisce about those times when I first placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And oh, I was just so excited. I mean, I wanted to tell everybody I encountered about my Lord and my Savior. I was out there just wanting to share the hope of Jesus Christ and what He had done in my life. And, you know, where He took me out of and what He brought me through. And I was just so excited. But as I became a human in the Lord, my relationship with God kind of fizzled. And I asked God, you know, where did it go wrong, God? And I couldn't even keep up with the words that He was telling me. But this is what He wants me to share with all of us today. And He's speaking to this to you personally. Remember when you gave your heart to me, you were so excited. I was the first on your mind when you woke up. Throughout the day, you called me and spoke to me and told me all that was going on in your life. You asked me for advice. I'd give you guidance through my word, and we giggle and laugh throughout the day. Before you went to bed, I was on your mind. You called out to me, and you would fall asleep holding on to me. You had a new song in your heart. We had our own love song. And you loved me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You abided in my love. I gave you my joy and peace, and I gave you my love to take with you wherever you went. You trusted in me when trials and hardships and tribulations came your way. Through those desert times, you depended on me to see you through. You had confidence that I would take care of you. But I have this against you. You have abandoned me, your first love. And that's in Revelations 2:4. You have allowed your love for me to grow cold. As I began to reread this, I started crying and I said, Lord, how has our love for you grown cold? And it's just like He spoke to my spirit and He says, because of your divided heart. Lord, how, as we, as your women, how do we get that heart back? How do we take what the enemy has stolen? And He says, seek me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you again, declares the Lord. And then He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And again, I said, well, Lord, how do we abide in this love that you're talking about in John 15:19? And I looked up that word abide in the Greek, and it means steadfast, remain, continue, and live. So remain in my love, steadfast in my love, continue in my love, and live in my love, my love. Again, I asked, Lord, well, then how do we continue to abide? And He says, Trust in me with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that's what Proverbs 3:5. Here are those three words again. All your heart, a heart not divided. Anything else, Lord? And he says, talk to me. Even when you don't feel like speaking, talk to me. Call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you again. That's in Jeremiah. And then I said, anything else, Lord God? And he says, praise me in every situation, even when it's difficult, even when you don't feel like it. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord my God, and I will give glory to your name forever. And that's in Psalm 86:12. And then finally, I said, anything else, Lord God? And he says, be thankful. Be thankful. In every situation in your life, especially when it's difficult, because my love for you knows no bounds. And it says in Psalms 136:2, give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. So you see, ladies, he's given us the key. There are things that we need to do to remain and abide in God's love. Trust, prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. That's how we abide. Those are the complete opposite, the very areas that the enemy wants to struggle with you in. Because when he takes your minds away, from your hearts away from loving God, from trusting God, then what are you trusting in? The things of the world, right? When you're not praying to God, then who are you communicating with? Who are you allowing to take that relationship with God? If you're not praising God, then you're complaining against God. You're criticizing. And when you're not giving him thanks, then you're ungrateful for what he has given you. So those are the very areas that he will target you in to get your heart divided against God. Remember I was telling you, why is it so important for all of us to have an undivided heart? Remember I told you at the beginning of this whole teaching was that God loves weddings, that he loves marriages. And the marriage I'm talking about is his marriage to you. The final wedding event is when he comes to pick you up, his bride. John 14 says in verse 2 to 3, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. So I want you to get this picture, ladies. Imagine the God of the universe. He created the universe in what? How many days? 6. And if you're like me, if you're over 50, multiply that by 365 days. Some of us have many days with us, right? Mine is over 20,000 days, okay? So God, if he were to come for me right now for 20,000 days, he has preparing his mansion for me in that sky in heaven. Can you imagine how glorious and beautiful it must be if he created this beautiful world in 6 days, what our heavenly mansion is going to look like? Think about that. And as I got up all wrapped up, Lord, is it going to have carpet? Am I going to have, you know, paneling or really gold floors? And I was just thinking about all this stuff. But it's neat to imagine because in Revelation 9:6-9, it's so important because it says, get this picture, ladies. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of a mighty ocean wave or the crash of a loud thunder. So all these people in heaven are now screaming and they're just yelling and praising God. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amen. And his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. Can you imagine that, ladies? If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you read the verses before this verse, God is coming down on his horse from heaven. He's going to swoop you up as his bride and carry you off into the sunset. Can you imagine that? God of the universe, God everlasting, your husband. He has so much in store for you. But before you do that, before he comes for you, you must accept his marriage proposal. You must say, I do. And accept him as your Lord and your Savior and your husband. You must choose today, the word says in Joshua, choose this day whom you serve. Will it be the gods of the world or will it be the God who created the world? This choice is yours. No one can force you into having this godly relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have placed your faith today in Jesus Christ, but you've kind of been like one of those runaway brides where you kind of make it to the altar, but you know, you're afraid. God is saying, don't run away. Don't be afraid of me. Come back. And some of us are like those bridezillas you see on TV, those shows. Oh, my. I can't believe they get so caught up with all the ceremony that they mistreat their groom. And some of them don't even make it to the wedding, huh? It's crazy. We're so focused on the gown. And you can see right before the ceremony, the agitation and the excitement. But when that day came for those ladies to walk down that aisle, whoo, they looked good. And their groom was waiting there and they were smiling. They couldn't take their eyes off each other. But can you imagine as how it is to be walking down the aisle of heaven, meeting our Maker and our Savior, our husband, with the mariachis and just the shouting? That's what this is going to be like. Your loved one screaming, yay, praise God, Yvonne is meeting her Maker, and just all this awesome stuff going up in heaven. But you know, ladies, there's a story. It's in Matthew 25, and it talks about the 10 virgins, the 10 brides who are waiting for their groom. And this is what it says. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 who were wise took enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." On that day, ladies, of God's return, half of us are going to be ready and half of us won't. I pray today that your lamps are so full that you're in there praising God and worshiping Him at your wedding feast. The Word says when you place your faith in God that you now become the bride of Christ, the church. And that's what He's talking about. Please do not allow the things of the world to divide your heart, to scatter you, to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because in the end, they don't matter. You came into this world, the Word says, naked and naked you will leave. So why are we allowing all these foolish things to divide our hearts against God? But God is good. When you place your faith in God, He will give you your whole heart back again. He will pick up all those scattered pieces, all those things that you spent your time on. He's going to use it again to bring Him glory. You know, you think, I made so many mistakes, drugs, alcohol, sex, adultery, all these things. He'll never forgive me. And you know what's awesome about our God? The very things, and I'm not going to entice you to continue sinning, but when you place your faith and recommit your heart again to God, those very areas that have divided you against Him, He uses it for ministry. He uses it to bring Him glory so that you can go out there and start ministering to the women who are caught up in the same things that you were. Some of you have placed your faith in God and have become distracted with all these things. And some of you have not. You don't know who God is. You don't know kind of what we're really talking about. But I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. To become God's bride, you must accept Him into your heart, as I mentioned to you before. What this is doing is accepting Him, and then God does a work in your heart, and you're able to take it to your churches wherever you go. This is to encourage you and to build you up, ladies, so that you aren't being left behind, pounding on that door and saying, "Lord, why can't I go in?" The first thing you need to do to accept Him as your husband, your Savior, is you must admit that you are a sinner. And that's a very hard thing for us to do because we come from a very pride-filled, I-focused life. Everything is I, iPod, iPad, all this other stuff that's distracting us from God, you know. We must be willing to repent, and not only repent, but give it up. Turn from all that stuff that's taking our heart and move on and allow God to do the work in us. And then we must believe that Christ died for us on that cross. And then you must invite Him into your heart and make Him your Lord. Say this prayer out loud. I want you just to repeat this with me right now, if you would. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. I want your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins so that I can become your bride. Please wash me clean from all my sin, my shame, and guilt. Come into my life, Jesus, to be my Lord my Savior, and my husband. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And ladies, for those of you that have placed your faith in God and kind of got distracted, there's a prayer that I want us all to repeat to rededicate our heart to God and to fully let Him just take a hold of our heart once again. This is based on the scripture of Psalms 86, 11 through 17. And let's just say it as a prayer unto God. Train me, God, to walk straight. They'll follow your true path. Put me together, one heart and mind. Then undivided, I'll worship you in joyful fear. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you, dear Lord. I've never kept secret what you've been up to. You've always been great toward me. What love. You, O God, are both tender and kind, not easily angered, immense in love, and you never, never quit. So look me in the eye and show kindness. Give your servant the strength to go on. Save your dear, dear child. God, gently and powerfully, put me back on my feet. Amen.